Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. There behind the glass stands a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along, move along. Come inside, the show's about to start.
Welcome, my friends. This is the show that never ends. This is your host, the General Gonzo S. Patton, and I'm glad to have you with me on Freedom Outlaw Radio. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Freedom Outlaw Radio has a affiliate partner, the Rebooting Liberty Radio Network at live.rebootingliberty.com, the first, last, and only name in Liberty Radio. That's right, Rebooting Liberty Radio Network is the affiliate partner of Freedom Outlaw Radio. And together, that we are the first, last, and only names in Liberty Radio. So welcome, welcome, my friends. Much has gone on in the wide world of liberty since we last spoke. And there's much ground to cover in the next 27 minutes and 30 seconds as we go through what has gone on, what is, and what shall be. So we might as well get to it, Pruitt, like they used to do it. So let us roll, baby, roll. Oh, and by the way, if you have anything that you'd like to say, I'll be keeping an eye on the chat room, which is open. So try and keep your extremities to a minimum and your obscenities even less because, you know, people to try to be civil in there. And if you have a question, I'll try and keep an eye on it and answer it. And as we roll on through this, if you have something that you want to say, feel free to give me a call, 347-857-1197. And we have a special hotline number for liberal trolls and Muslim extremists at 347-857-1197. So let's just dive right in. We should note that while whiny-ass liberals have been on campus at Mizzou and other campuses across country complaining about needing a safe space and amending the First Amendment so that nobody can say anything that might possibly offend anyone, that Veterans Day passed with hardly a notice, and people that were millennial-aged and younger during World War II, World War I, the Korean War, Vietnam, those people who were the same age, managed to skip college, storm Normandy, get their asses shot off, go to war in Iraq, Afghanistan, Kosovo, and other places, and adapt, improvise, overcome, and kill the enemy. and they didn't have a safe spot. There was a lot of cussing, a lot of swearing, a lot of ah, la, 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 and a lot of boom. God bless them. And to you whiny people that need a safe spot, shut the hell up. Grow up. What the hell is wrong with you people? Did you get too many participation trophies growing up? Are you freaking retarded? I'm going to put on my life coach hat for a moment and just tell you a simple reality. Life's tough. Get a helmet. It's even tougher when you're a whiny little bitch. Now, moving on. In case you hadn't noticed, Barack Hussein Milhouse Obama has been sneaking Muslim refugees into the country using UPS airplanes and Homeland Security buses, been bringing them in from the north, from Canada, from the south, through Mexico, I guess after they've seen a donkey show or two, and flying them in on UPS planes because, well, when you package them all up, what can Brown do for you besides yell, ah, la, 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 boom. So he's playing Red Rover, Red Rover, send Muslims on over, while the FBI admits that they are using their special, like special ed, yay, tracking teams to track 48 ISIS people that are in the United States already. Well, if we know we have 48 hardcore ISIS members in the United States already, and we've got the FBI's, yay, special tracking teams on them, why don't we just gaff them up and send them to Gitmo? Instead of letting them wander free range, knowing that there were 49, but one of them tried to attack a cop and we had to shoot him and take him into custody. Why do we wait for things like that to happen? Just saying. We know they're here. We know who they are, allegedly. And I'm betting there's more than the 48. Why don't we just gaff them up? Are we a little deep to deep? Because it certainly would seem that way. Let's go get them and put them away. By away, I mean send them to me because I'll take care of them. Just don't ask where they went and what happened to them. And speaking of where they went and what happened to them, Sweden had 14,000 Syrian refugees and they vanished. Like David Copperfield, poof, vanished. And Sweden just can't find them. And if you're telling me you can't find 14,000 brown people amongst all of the Swedish Nordic-looking people, I'm telling you that's bullshit. Somebody put them on some UPS planes and brought them here. Now, Saudi Arabia has been complaining about the hostility towards the Muslim refugees. Saudi Arabia, the richest Muslim country in the world. They're decrying the racist hate speech directed at the Muslims. They haven't taken one of these refugees in. Why? Well, because those dirtbags are trouble and they don't want a part of it. So, Saudi Arabia, up yours. In keeping with the tradition of Black Lives Don't Matter, they've been obsessed with the Planned Parenthood shooting, trying to deflect and keeping the media away from a larger shooting that took place in Louisiana. That's right. There was a big shooting in Louisiana. But the media has ignored it because the Bunny Friend Park shooting has been memory-holed because it was performed by a gentleman named Joseph Mo Allen, who was one of an unknown number of shooters who opened fire in the Bunny Friend Park on November 22nd, wounding 17 people in an attack that made international headlines, but you didn't hear a peep about it in the U.S., baby. Why? Because down in New Orleans, they did their best to cover it up. In the U.S., they did their best to not get it in the press. Far more people were murdered on an average weekend in Chicago in petty gang-related violence, such as 8 dead and 20 wounded this past weekend, than what happened at Planned Parenthood in a botched bank robbery. Well, why? Didn't fit the narrative. The media is moving us and moving the needle in such a way they can try and take our guns, to take our freedom, and they're using it all so they can hide behind the guise of depopulating the planet. Because when they use this climate change, global warming bullshit, it is designed to depopulate the planet. And I want to share with you Chapter 7 from Plunder and Deceit, Mark Levin's latest and greatest. So you thought the environmental movement was about clean air, clean water, and polar bears. Such messages are especially seductive to younger people, albeit hugely deceptive and manipulated. John Beale is a former top-ranking Environmental Protection Agency official in the Obama administration who was sentenced to prison for fraud. But starting in mid-2009, he told congressional investigators he was working on a green economics project to modify the DNA of the capitalist system. As reported by Fox News, he argued that environmental regulation was reaching its limits because the fundamental dynamics of the capitalistic system is for businesses and individuals to try to externalize costs. Beale is among a number of self-appointed statists, mostly unknown to the public, who have insinuated themselves into positions of governance or hold themselves out as experts, and whose real ideology and agenda extend far beyond clean air and water. For example, in a recent interview, fanatical anti-capitalist and climate activist Naomi Klein proclaimed that capitalism increasingly is a discredited system because it is seen as a system that venerates greed above all else. That's a benefit to climate discussion to name a system that lots of people already have problems with for other reasons. She continued, I don't know why it's so important to save capitalism. It's a pretty battered brand. Just focus on climate is getting us nowhere. Many, many more people recognize the need to change our economy. If climate can be our lens to catalyze this economic transformation that so many people need for other, even more pressing reasons, then that may be a winning combination. Klein added, this economic system is failing the vast majority of people. That meaning capitalism is also waging war on the planet's life support system. Much of the so-called environmental movement today has transmuted into an aggressive, nefarious, and primitive faction. In the last 15 years, many of the tenets of utopian statism has coalesced around something called the degrowth movement. Originating in Europe, but now taking a firm hold in the United States, the degrowthers, as Mark Levin has characterized them, include the ranks none other than President Barack Hussein Obama. On January 17, 2008, Obama made clear his hostility toward, of all things, electricity generated from coal and coal-powered plants. He told the San Francisco Chronicle, you know, when I was asked earlier about this issue of coal, under my plan of cap and trade system, electricity rates would necessarily skyrocket. Now, folks, as an aside, you've probably seen your rates double since Obama's been in office, and the regulations he released on the Wednesday afternoon just before Thanksgiving will cause your electricity rates to double just before and just after he gets out of office. Thank you, President Psycho. Now back to our story and to President Obama's quotes, where he added, so if somebody wants to build a coal-powered plant, they can. It's just that it will bankrupt them because they're going to be charged a huge sum for all the greenhouse gas that's being emitted. Now keep in mind, those greenhouse gases, that's what we need to have life on Earth. Those greenhouse gases, when you see people who have greenhouses to grow plants, like flowers and vegetables and stuff in colder climates, that's how they get the warmth and the water and the things that they need, the oxygen, to feed and sustain life. That's what we need for our planet. And without those greenhouse gases, we don't have food, oxygen, and energy, and we die. Degrowthers define their agenda as follows. Sustainable degrowth is a downscaling of production and consumption that increases human well-being and enhances ecological conditions and equity on the planet. It calls for a future where societies live within their ecological means with open, localized economies and resources more equally distributed through new forms of democratic institutions. Basically, it's Marxism. It is essentially economic strategy to pursue in overdeveloped countries like the United States for the well-being of the planet, of underdeveloped populations, and yes, even of the sick, stressed, and overweight consumer populations of overdeveloped countries. Translated, that means you fat bastards in America are going to be culled from the herd, and we're going to get rid of you. For its proponents and adherents, degrowth has quickly developed into a pseudo religion and public policy obsession. In fact, the degrowthers insist their ideology reaches far beyond the environment and even its odium for capitalism and is an all-encompassing lifestyle and governing philosophy. Some of its leading advocates argue that the degrowth, notice they say degrowth. Degrowth, think about that. They're going to shrink our economies, shrink our populations. They are going to thin the herd. Now, when you tie that to Obamacare and death panels, you realize that Sarah Palin, Alan West, they were right. Degrowth is not just an economic concept. It will be shown that it is a frame constituted by a large array of concerns, goals, strategies, and actions. As a result, degrowth has now become a confluence point where streams of critical ideas and political action converge. Degrowth is an interpretive frame for a social movement, understood as the mechanism through which actors engage in a collective action. The degrowthers seek to eliminate carbon sources of energy and redistribute wealth according to the terms they consider equitable. They reject the traditional economic reality that acknowledges growth as improving living conditions generally, but especially for the impoverished. They embrace the notions of less competition, large-scale redistribution, sharing, and reduction of excessive incomes and wealth. Everybody remember Animal Farm? All animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others. Degrowthers want to engage in policies that will set a maximum income or maximum wealth to weaken envy as a motor of consumerism and open borders so as to reduce means to keep inequality between rich and poor countries. And they demand reparations by supporting a concept of ecological debt or the demand that Global North pays for past and present colonial exploitation in the Global South. These are dark days indeed. French economist and leading degrowther Serge Latouche, no pun there, asserts that we are currently witnessing the steady commercialization of everything in the world. Applied to every domain this way, capitalism cannot help but destroy the planet and society. These douchebags abhor economic growth and wealth creation. They believe that society based on an economic contraction can't exist under capitalism. And on July 18th, 2014, scores of extreme groups throughout the world endorsed a proclamation titled the Margarita Declaration on Climate Change. Don't know if they were all drinking margaritas and that's where the name came from, but that's what they endorsed. Degrowth is characterized by strong utopian dimensions. To implement this utopian vision of radical egalitarian outcomes, the degrowth movement insists on alternative building, opposition and research, and in relation to capitalism, they can be anti-capitalist, post-capitalist, and the degrowthers insist that governments establish a living wage. Have you heard that before? Reduce the work week to 20 hours so we can all live in poverty, discounting the fact that population of the globe has increased by several billion human beings in the intervening years. They call for bringing material production back down to the levels of the 1960s and returning to small-scale farming, because we're not going to feed all those people. You fatty, fat, fat folks are going to starve. And degrowthers decree a moratorium on technological innovation. Never mind those iPhones and stuff. You don't need them. You don't need your iPods. You don't need your computers. Imagine the power and breadth of a police state necessary to enforce this form of autocracy. The Communist Manifesto of Marx and Engels declared, the bourgeois cannot exist without constantly revolutionizing the instruments of production, and they intend to do so. They intend to have an anti-industrial revolution and turn the world into third world economies, turn us all back into cart and horse and buggies. copy of Plunder and Deceit, or go to marklevinshow.com and read his chapter 7 of Plunder and Deceit, and you will be shocked to find that in 23 simple pages that these people plan to commit crimes against humanity, the deepest and darkest crimes possible. And there will be victims upon victims whose voices will never be heard. Your children, grandchildren, and their children's children will suffer and suffocate under these animals, and they shall not and will not be heard from. This is a tragedy wherein these people are going to destroy not only the United States of America, but the rest of the world, getting rid of all mass media means of communication, all your electronic devices, anything you have. So basically, we go back to a tribalized society where the global elites can reign over us and we live hand to mouth in a feudal system. They lord over us, and we are unable to fight back because we are too weak, and we don't have a communication system or a method to fight back. We are left to have stones and bricks and bows and arrows while they have the tools and the weapons. People, if you are going to rise up and protect your natural rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, to protect your rights of your children, their children, for generations to come, to be free, it's now or never. This cannot be put off. God is calling. Your family is calling. You will either leave a legacy of cowardice, or you will leave a legacy of liberty. And it is up to you what your family's legacy will be. Will you become the next William Wallace? Or will you try and appease the tyrants and hope that you are the last to be crushed under the boot of tyranny? I had not crushed by anyone. I was born naked, screaming, and covered in someone else's blood. And if that's the way I die, so be it. This is the General, Gonzo S. Patton, and I will fight for my liberty and yours, and I hope you will stand side by side with me to do the same. Future generations are counting on us. God bless you. God bless America. And God bless freedom for the world, because this isn't about just the United States. This is about the world.
We'd like to dedicate this next song to our troops and to their families, no matter where they are tonight. May God bless each and every one of them. Amen. Mm-hmm. have no plastic LA friends. Ain't on the edge of no popular trend. Ain't never seen the inside of that magazine, GQ. We don't care if you're a lawyer or a Texas old man, or some waitress busting ass at some liquor stand. If you got soul, we hang out with people just like you. My hair's turning white, my neck's always been red, my collar's still blue. We've always been here, just trying to sing the truth.